This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mother's Day is an opportunity to thank all mothers for saying yes to life. Each Mother's Day, Allen County Right to Life sponsors the Carnation Project. On May 11th, Allen County Right to Life will continue this tradition when local churches will have beautiful carnations available before and after masses and services. Purchasing carnations are a wonderful way to say, I love you, to the important woman in your life, while helping us continue to defend innocent life from conception to natural death. If you are interested in becoming a Carnation Project coordinator for your church, please visit our website, ichooselife.org, or call 260-471-1849. That's ichooselife.org or 260-471-1849.
And now the pro-life news.
This from the Alliance Defending Freedom. On Monday, April 7th, Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys filed a federal lawsuit against CityLink, Fort Wayne's public transportation company, for refusing to accept an ad from a pro-life healthcare referral service for women in need. According to Alliance Defending Freedom litigation counsel Rory Gray,
no one deserves to be silenced simply for having a viewpoint that city officials don't favor. When the city allows community groups to advertise, it can't single out pro-life organizations for censorship. The First Amendment protects freedom of speech for all people, regardless of their political or religious beliefs.
Women's Health Link is a free referral resource for women seeking physical, emotional, spiritual, or mental health care. Last October, Women's Health Link asked to place advertising cards in the interior of CityLink's buses. On each card is a picture of a young woman and the tagline, You're Not Alone, along with the center's contact information. The city-run company denied the request twice because Women's Health Link is associated with Allen County Right to Life, and because the Women's Health Link website discusses what CityLink officials refer to as controversial issues. According to Alliance Defending Freedom senior legal counsel Jeremy Tedesco,
the city's stated reasons for denying this ad do not pass constitutional muster. We hope CityLink will change course by permitting our client's advertisement and revising its policies so that everyone can exercise their constitutionally protected freedoms.
CityLink has permitted many nonprofit and government organizations to place public service announcements with various messages in the interior of their buses, including the State of Indiana, Parkview Health, and the United Way. The complaint was filed as Women's Health Link versus Fort Wayne Public Transportation Corporation with the U.S. District Court for the Northern Indiana District of Indiana, Fort Wayne Division. It explains that CityLink's advertising policies give, quote, officials unbridled discretion to accept or reject private expression protected by the First Amendment, close quote. The complaint also states that the policies violate Women's Health Link's, quote, fundamental rights, including its right to freedom of speech and freedom of association, close quote. To view the court complaint, go to AllianceDefendingFreedom.org. This from NationalRightToLifeNews.org. Based on the number of persons who had enrolled in Obamacare as of March 1st, at least $5 billion in federal tax subsidies will be available to help purchase health plans that cover elective abortion, with the figure sure to increase as additional millions of Americans enroll. Obamacare provides federal subsidies on a sliding scale for millions of American families whose household income is 400% or less of the federal poverty level. These subsidies can only be used to purchase a health plan within an Obamacare exchange, which each state is required to establish. Obamacare allows plans within a state's exchange, including federally subsidized plans, to cover all abortion unless a state passes a law to prohibit such coverage. As of April 14th, 24 states have enacted laws restricting exchange participating insurance plans from covering elective abortions. But taxpayers in those 24 24 states still will be subsidizing the purchase of abortion-covering health plans in the other 26 states and the District of Columbia, which have not passed such laws. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that the federal premium subsidies total $10 billion nationwide based on federal enrollment data as of March 1, 2014. States with the most liberal abortion laws in the nation are among those receiving the largest share of the federal tax premium subsidies. These figures do not reflect enrollments in Obamacare made on or after March 1st, so the totals, both aggregate totals and totals for the largest abortion-covering states, are expected to increase sharply as later enrollment figures are analyzed. A preliminary analysis beginning with the $10 billion figure and subtracting the subsidies for the 24 states that have restricted elective abortion coverage leaves an estimated $5 billion in federal tax subsidies that will flow in 2014 to Obamacare exchange plans in abortion-covering states. To make matters worse, these federal premium subsidies are projected to dramatically increase over time. The Congressional Budget Office projects that these federal premium subsidies will cost over $100 billion per year nationwide by 2018. With respect to individual abortion-covering states, there is not sufficient data to estimate what percentage of the subsidies will end up paying for individual health plans that actually cover abortion. That is because information on which individual health plans cover abortion is difficult to obtain in many states, a situation that the Obama administration has done nothing to remedy. But what evidence does exist suggests that a major portion of the $5 billion will flow to abortion-covering plans. In fact, it's possible that certain state exchanges will only include plans that cover abortion. Beginning in 2011 and as recently as January 2014, the U.S. House of Representatives has repeatedly approved bills that would remove the abortion subsidies from Obamacare, but the leadership in the Senate has refused to allow its members to vote on such bills. This from CitizenLink. The Colorado State Senate is considering a bill that would create a supposed fundamental right to abortion. Under the language of the bill, no governmental body at any level would be able to enact a policy that, quote, denies or interferes with an individual's reproductive health care decision, close quote. The phrase reproductive health care is always interpreted to include abortion. Jessica Havercate with Colorado Family Action says if passed, Senate Bill 175 could have far-reaching consequences, stating, quote, this legislation poses an undeniable and irreparable danger to common-sense laws supported by a majority of Americans, close quote. If passed, Senate Bill 175 could impact laws protecting maternal health, conscience protections, laws regulating abortion providers, abstinence education, and pregnancy centers. Carrie Gordon Earle with Focus on the Family called the bill dangerous and said, quote, it would prevent the state or any local government from passing common sense pro-life policies. It enshrines a right to abortion in state law and effectively ends the policy debate, close quote. In an open letter on April 11th, Denver Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila asked people to spend 10 minutes praying and to take action against the bill. Get more information at CitizenLink.com.
This is your AFA Indiana News Minute. An independent filmmaker is hoping to raise enough money to produce a movie about Dr. Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist who was convicted of first-degree murder and the deaths of three babies. But Gosnell's career spanned 30 years, and it's thought that he killed thousands of babies. The trial, in which witnesses describe baby abortion survivors swimming in toilets trying to get out, attracted merely 12 to 15 reporters. Only after 56 days, multiple letters from members of the House of Representatives, and a public outcry from conservative groups did all three broadcast networks report on Gosnell. Filmmaker Phelim McAleer hopes to raise $2.1 million in 45 days to tell the story of Gosnell, a story well hidden by the media. Their company, Hat Tip Productions, will produce a scripted drama based on the abortionist trial and the grand jury report. There's more online at afain.net.
We have a very special returning guest. We've had Angela Minter on via telephone before, and she is in the studio today. So, Angela Minter of Sisters for Life, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I'm excited to be here in the studio live.
Right. We have had an interesting couple of days as you visited here in Northeast Indiana, and more to come. Angela has spoken several times across Indiana with several more opportunities that we'll be reminding you of at the end of the program. But Angela, today, well, first let's start out by having you share what Sisters for Life is all about. Mm-hmm. And then I have a specific topic that I'd like to unpack a bit with you.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Sisters for Life is a Christian nonprofit organization, and we are acting as liaisons between mothers and fathers that find themselves faced with a crisis or unplanned pregnancy. And then we're also advocates for God's family values. And so in that, we run a mentoring program. We do a radio broadcast, and we're raising the awareness about the effect of abortion in our community, and we're helping our young people discover their purpose so that they can fulfill that assignment God has for their life in the earth. And so assisting mothers at the same time.
Wonderful. I think that's what many of our listeners are all about. So they always appreciate hearing more about other ministries, and we'll have a link to your website on our website at ichooselife.org. So if anyone wants to get more information, they can, and I'm sure you have a website as well. Why don't you give that now?
Absolutely. Our website is sisforlife.org. That's sisforlife.org.
Okay, and you're based in
Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, right across the river.
The river.
Yeah, great.
Right.
I've heard you speak in several venues, Angela, and I have learned as I've had the blessing of getting to know you that you can speak to the life issue from a variety of perspectives, and that's one of the things that you're going to be doing on April 28th at the Eagle's Nest in Columbia City. The North Central Indiana Right to Life organization is going to have you as the keynote. Get more information at irtl.org. If anyone wants to know about that, that's in Columbia City. So I know you're going to be giving your complete testimony at that time. But one of the things that I'd really like to focus in, or rather the major thing I'd like to focus in on today, is your relationship with your shepherd, your pastor at your home congregation, because he has played an integral part in your story. As I understand it, you got involved in the life issue as a result of wanting to support your pastor. Tell us a little bit about that, and why was that so important to you?
Well, I'm glad you asked me about that. Our pastor, Pastor Cecil Bly, he's the pastor of More Grace Ministries Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And Kathy, he had created such an environment of love and grace, and also sharing so much truth from the pulpit, and helped my husband and me and our children. And you could just see his heart, you know, as a shepherd and wanting to make sure that he ministers to everyone in exactly the way they need to be ministered to. And so he had an opportunity. He talked about how he was going to be speaking at a rally in Frankfort. Kentucky Right to Life was having their annual rally, and he invited members, if they were available, to come and support him and join him there, not only to support him, but be educated. And I had a schedule that allowed me some flexibility. And I was just so grateful for all he had done for me, my husband, our children, and how he's ministered to us. So I made myself available to go and support him. And as a result, I went to that rally. And it turned out to be a profound event because it was there that God opened up my eyes to a secret that I had carried for 22 years, which was that I paid money for two of my babies to be killed through abortion when I was 17 and 18 years old.
Oh, my goodness. And I understand that it was almost a road to Damascus experience that the Lord just opened your eyes right there in the rotunda of the Kentucky State Capitol building.
Yes.
That must have been a little unnerving. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, really, understatement. That was a day where God had opened up my eyes to something that I had stuffed so deep that it was almost like a shock that I had done it. He spoke to me. I heard in my heart, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, you killed two of your babies and you need to repent.
Wow.
You need to ask God for forgiveness. And I had not done that, nor had I ever acknowledged that that's what I had done. We hadn't talked about it. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend and I, which is now my husband, we had never discussed it.
And that was 22
since
years.
That day, and it was 22 years.
Wow.
And so at that moment, I really felt like I was going to lose my mind. Mm. And I prayed and I asked the Lord, will you please just not allow me to lose my mind right here in this place? And just help me to get to the bathroom. And I got to the bathroom and I began to really try to regurgitate because I felt so sick, so ill. And I wanted that feeling, that sickness to come out of me. I was shocked that I had done that to my children, to my babies.
Wow, that is an amazing story. So here you are in a public restroom, in a public building, several miles from home. What was that trip home like?
I didn't think I was going to make it home. You know, I was praying and asking God to cause me to make it home. Kathy, after I never related the two things, but after those abortions, I dealt with so much depression and suicidal tendencies. And so I had been, you know, had not been experiencing that for many years. But that day, it was like everything revisited me. Mm. And all of a sudden, I'm suicidal again. All of a sudden, I'm saying, you know, I killed two of my babies. I don't deserve to live. And I'd wanted to take my life. But by the grace of God, I'd made it back. But when I got back to Louisville, and it was 45 minute drive, and I got back to Louisville, I went straight to my church. Mm. I went straight to my pastor.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an incredible story. And as you talk about the emotional issues that you were dealing with, the depression and the suicide attempts and all those things, that is not all that uncommon with women who've made an abortion decision, is it?
Not at all. Unbeknownst to me, you know, because when I made that choice, that was a secret that my husband and I were keeping, you know, my boyfriend at the time. So we didn't tell anyone. So there was no education or wisdom to be gotten because nobody knew initially. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that as a teenager that, you know, statistically, 80% of teenagers that have an abortion will attempt suicide in the first year.
Oh, my gosh.
I had no idea that when you have an abortion, and especially if you've already dealt with issues of depression and mental illness and these sorts of things in your family, you have a higher propensity of dealing with that, you know. And so there's so many repercussions behind abortion. But had I been educated about the fact that that's not uncommon, these are things that could happen to you and very well may happen to you, and they did happen to me, that would have helped me in my decision-making process.
You know, with nearly 60 million legal abortions having been done since that infamous Roe versus Wade decision back in 1973, it's highly likely, as a matter of fact, almost certain that we're talking to someone right now who has been touched by an abortion decision in our listening audience. And I just want you to know that this is not the unforgivable sin. Mm-hmm. Angela's here to share her story of forgiveness that she's received from the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have been touched by an abortion in any way, don't stay in that prison cell of regret.
That's right.
There is help available to you. We'll give a number at the end of the program where you can call to get free counseling. It's a hotline that's staffed 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Help and healing is as close as your phone. Pick it up. Make this call. Realize that Jesus has already forgiven you. He's already paid the price, as he has for me, for any sin that I've committed. Step out of that prison cell of regret and remorse and allow the Lord Jesus to fulfill the call that he has on your life.
One of the things, Kathy, that my pastor was able to do for me is to share with me when I did come to him, to the church, and I said, you know, Pastor, I've paid money for two of my babies to be killed when I was a teenager. One of the first things he did was remind me of the price that Jesus had paid for me. He let me know that Jesus paid the price for my sins. He paid my sin debt in full.
In full.
He did allow me to acknowledge the sin. I think that was very important for me to acknowledge that and to repent and to ask God for forgiveness. And then he reminded me that Jesus bore my griefs and he carried my sorrows, Kathy. So I left out of that office knowing that Jesus did pay for my sin. He did bear my griefs. He did carry my sorrows. I am forgiven now because I acknowledged what I had done and I asked God to forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, then he is faithful and he is just. He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all that unrighteousness. And so your listeners, they do need to be aware of that.
Right.
That there is freedom. There is forgiveness. But it is very important for us to acknowledge something if we have been silent on it.
Exactly. This is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you. Thank you so much for tuning our way today for I Choose Life News and Views. Our very special guest is Angela Minter, the founder and executive director of Sisters for Life, that's based in Louisville, Kentucky. Angela will be in Northern Indiana again at the end of April, April 28th, to be exact, at the Eagle's Nest in Columbia City, as she delivers the keynote address at the North Central Indiana Right to Life Spring Banquet. And if you want more ticket information, please visit their website at irtl.org, irtl.org, or nci4life.org. That's nci4life.org. We certainly hope to see you at the banquet. I know that I will be there, Angela, along with others from our community, because I always learn something new every time I hear you speak. And today we're talking about your relationship with your pastor and how the Lord used an incredible set of circumstances to bring you to a place of healing. We don't always hear pastors talk about life issues and specifically abortion from a position of grace in their churches, and maybe they don't mention it at all. Right. Do you have any idea why that is?
Well, I think that there are several different reasons, you know, why some pastors will not speak out about this issue. Some of them, they just don't know, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Others, they don't know how to speak out. Others, perhaps because they've been involved in an abortion issue where they've either paid for an abortion or they have had a wife that has gone through an abortion and they, you know, kind of are sworn to secrecy and not able to or not even allowed to speak out about it because of the effect that it's having on the wife that hasn't dealt with the issue. And then some people think they know, but it's what they think they know that they don't know. You know, they think that I'm doing more harm if I share about this issue. And then, you know, a lot of people, even from a political standpoint, will not share about the issue.
And isn't that sad that we've allowed this to become a white Republican issue? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is a political piece to this, but it's almost too easy to shove it in that box and put it on the shelf and say, I don't need to touch that because that's political and I don't want to have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. How can we get beyond that?
Well, I think that we have to, you know, truly have a heart for what God calls us to do. And as a pastor or even a lay person, regardless of what our position is, but especially and in particular with pastors, we have to make sure that we're watchmen on the wall. You know,
exactly.
These pastors are watching over the souls of these people, your parishioners. And so you have women, statistically, one out of four women that I know of are sitting in the pews and they're post-abortive. Mm-hmm. So that means one out of four men are sitting in the pews. They're post-abortive.
Exactly.
So pastors have a responsibility to be watchmen on the wall and say, listen, this is the truth about the matter. And if pastors don't really know how to address it, there's much help available. Organizations like yours and organizations like the Hope Center.
And yours.
And Sisters for Life and Silent No More. Organizations that can come in and will be happy to serve and to help them talk about the issue. But there are a variety of reasons. But the scripture says we perish for a lack of knowledge. And so it is important for pastors to be like my pastor and just raise the awareness. Tell the truth about it, that he didn't necessarily preach an entire sermon about the issue, but he let us know this is the effect that abortion is having, and this is what the Word of God says about these preborn babies. And it is important for mothers and women that have gone through this issue to know you got a place to come.
Very well said, Angela. What can we do as people sitting in the pews to encourage our pastors and to respond to them in love as you did to your pastor?
I think that we can let them know that we support them. You know, pastors need our support. Let them know that we're praying for them. And then when we do pray for them, then be yielded to what the vision is of the pastor.
Sure.
And if there's something that we feel like needs to be a part of the ministry, and, you know, the pastor can't uncover everything.
Right.
And he can't be all things to all people. And so he has his members to help. And so we can bring something to his attention and say, Pastor, I think this might be a good idea. Will you pray about us maybe having a seminar about this or having a group study about this particular issue?
And I'll take the lead and organize it.
There you go.
I'll bake the cookies. I'll make the coffee.
There you go. I'll do the whole thing.
Right.
But what do you think? Pray about this and see if this is in line with the vision here. And I think pastors want that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they feel loved. They feel open to do more.
Right. I think it's an unrealistic expectation to put on the pastor that he can address every issue that needs to be addressed. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. The body of Christ is not made up of only pastors,
that's
but
right.
It takes all of us.
That's right.
Well, Angela, I am so excited about your opportunity to come back to Northeast Indiana. I know that you've spoken at a variety of events across the state, and the Lord's opening up doors for you that I'll bet you imagined.
No, never. It never occurred to me that God, because of his great grace, would allow something so detrimental to be used for his glory to help other people. But the scripture that I love, when God opened up my eyes about what I had done, and certainly, you know, the enemy would try to attack you and point the finger and shame you. And but Kathy, God reminded me of the scripture. Joseph told his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive." And so, you know, Satan is real, and he meant it for evil to destroy my husband and me and to destroy our babies. But God said, "I will work all things together for good." And now he's using it for his glory to help so many other women make a decision for life and make so many other babies have their opportunity to fulfill their purpose in the earth. So for that, I'm just deeply grateful.
And we are grateful to the Lord for your life as well. And I encourage those who want to hear more, because we have just touched the tip of the iceberg in regard to your story. It is multifaceted and very, very inspirational and encouraging. So anyone that lives in the Northeast Indiana area, I encourage you to go to the website NCI4life.org, NCI4life.org for ticket information about the North Central Indiana Banquet for Life on April 28th at the Eagle's Nest in Columbia City. And there will be other opportunities that I know of coming up in the future, Angela, and we'll make certain our listeners are aware of that. Any final thoughts you have? Do you think we're going to win this war?
Yeah, I really do. You know, it may look like we're defeated, but, you know, I'm sure that during slavery, I'm sure that they thought, are we going to ever make it out? But the same God that delivered so many out of slavery, the same God that brought an end to Holocaust, is the same God that will bring an end to this travesty.
Right. And for whatever his reasons are, he chooses to work through his people.
Yes.
We have touched on the importance of prayer, and it brings to mind that scripture in the Old Testament where the Lord inspired the writer to say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land.
Yes,
I believe that we can stand on that promise. Mm-hmm. We can claim that promise, and we will see our land healed.
That's right.
Thank you so much for being with us, and we will keep in touch with what's going on with Sisters for Life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my sister, for joining us today. God bless you, Angela Minter, and we'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Sister for Life.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, help is just a phone call away. Call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, whether you had an abortion, convinced someone else to have an abortion, or even participated in a procedure, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a pregnancy resource center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program, or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to ichooselife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.